T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let me ask you guys this. 49ers are 2-0. Do you feel better about them than you did going into the year? Worse about them than you felt going into the year? Or, the same? Dibs.
Wow.
The same. I had them at 2-0. And, you know, the win over the Lions was about what I thought it would be, other than that fourth quarter kind of odd comeback. It wasn't a full comeback, but the botched onside kick recovery, the Debo fumble. That game was closer than it really was. The score indicated that it was closer than it actually was. The Philadelphia game kind of was what I expected. It was going to be a tough game, a tough win, but they got it done. So I had them at 2-0, and this is probably as good a time as any to mention that in our preseason predictions, I had them losing this Sunday night against Green Bay. And when we did it 2 weeks ago, now, the spread tells you that the Niners are 3.5-point favorites, and you get 3 points in Vegas for being the home team. So Vegas sees this game as a coin toss. Based on what we've seen, I like the Niners' chances, and not to give it away, but when we do our picks and liquidate all assets today at 2:15, I would lean toward the Niners giving the 3.5.
Well, we don't, you know, pre-do what we're going to say. And, Stani, to answer your question, shocker, I'm not happy with what I've seen thus far. And the reason being is I still see injuries on both sides of the ball. I don't know Mosley's status. Hopefully he can play. But offensively, I see nothing new. And Detroit, you were supposed to handle Detroit. I know Debo had a good game. Him and Jimmy hooked up that one throw. It was an ugly throw, but it was still completed and it went for a tug. But I don't think that's the antidote to win the NFC West. I don't see the connection with Kittle as of yet. I don't know what the hell's going on. I need Magnum PI to find out what's going on with Ayuk. So hopefully all that will reveal itself this Sunday against Dibs. I thought this was going to be a dangerous game. I'm rooting for Aaron Rodgers, or I was. I love the honesty with these new interviews and he telling people to F off, but they just look soft. It's to the point to where Detroit was doing what they wanted for a whole half. So, Steiny, I think it's going to be blowout city, but to answer your question, offensively, and especially now with the injuries to the running back position, I'm concerned.
Did I miss a soundbite from Aaron Rodgers?
Well, he told people that were commenting on his mental health yesterday to F off because they're not qualified to talk about what state his mentals are in. And I kind of felt him, and I appreciate the – we always talk about these athletes. We don't want the standard, bland answer. We want the truth. And he's firing off now. I love it.
Well, let's make a distinction. Are we talking about Rodgers' mental health, and are we talking about depression, anxiety, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Or are we talking about – it doesn't feel like his head's in the game? Because to me, those are two very different things. I think it's very fair to say, look, Aaron Rodgers was in on the Jeopardy thing. It doesn't seem like he's focused on football like he has been in the past. I and just the body language and some of the things he said, it's got nothing to do with, you know, anxiety or depression or anything like that. I just don't think he wants to be there. I just don't think he's committed to Green Bay. His head's not there. So that's the distinction. I'm allowed to say that, but I wouldn't touch the other one.
Yeah, and I think that you have to look at the performance to really make a determination on whether or not he, quote, wants to be there. Damn. The opener their whole team, they were terrible. He didn't look good. They didn't look good. And against Detroit, Detroit's kind of like the ultimate mouthwash where, you know, you come in maybe with halitosis and you go out with sparkling fresh breath. Detroit's that kind of team.
Let me say this. I love that, Dibs. Draymond Green, is there any, and I'm not caping up for Rodgers, but is there any difference than Draymond filling in on TNT than what Aaron Rodgers was doing with Jeopardy? And he's been in this league long enough to where you think he would get the benefit of the doubt. It wasn't just his first bad game, but like Dib says, it was a team-wide bad game. But, Steiny, I would ask you, and you feel how you feel, like, damn, are you qualified? Are any of us, you know, people from afar to say his head's not in the game? And then he bounces back, even though it was Detroit, to throw four touchdowns. Like, maybe that's what's pissing him off.
Did you see the press conference after the first loss?
I did. With the new hair, okay. I did see that.
Okay. And it's got nothing to do with his appearance. It was his body language. It was his tone. And he's been in the news all off season. He threatened not to report. Okay, we know that. He has no respect for people in their front office. Mm. He's made that apparently clear. And I just think that stuff speaks for itself, doesn't it? I mean, he basically asked out of Green Bay, and Green Bay said, you know, we're not going to trade him. He's too valuable. He's too important. So he's probably – you can't tell me he's all in this year right now. I don't think he is.
If I can, Dibs, that you wouldn't dare say, Steiny, that he's sabotaging his own self and his team by – not being all the way in, that he's half-assing it to where you're not getting the best version of himself. You're not saying that, are you? Or insinuating that?
Basically. I mean, sabotage is a strong word, but guys come into years with different approaches. We see that a lot. You know, a guy will come in to camp, and his body looks different because he's been lifting all off season. I just don't get the sense that – and I'm careful with what I say. I don't get the sense that he's all enthusiastic about being a Green Bay Packer.
I think he's just aloof in general. So, you know, the way he is with his RELAX and his hang loose kind of, you know, he's growing out his hair and, and, you know, sending back presents to his parents. He's a different dude. But if you look at him from the opening coin toss to the final whistle, he balls out, and I don't think that during the game he shows a lack of a desire to be out there or a lack of a desire to compete. To me, he's closer to James Harden than he is to Ben Simmons. Now, Ben Simmons is a guy who has said, I'm not coming back to Philadelphia. There's a guy who has pulled up his tent stakes and basically said, I'm out. Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he wanted upgrades. They didn't do it. He kind of intimated that maybe he wanted to do other things, but once he gets under center and the game starts, he hasn't showed to me any of that letdown that you see from other athletes in other sports.
I agree, but if his preparation changed and his focus changed and he isn't as focused or prepared as he's been in past years, then that will probably impact his performance, even if he's got the right intentions. In other words, did he come into camp, you know, I don't know what he came into camp like in the past, but was he the same guy? If you're a teammate of Aaron Rodgers, but you're not tight with Aaron Rodgers, and I get the sense a lot of football relationships are like that. If you're playing on the other side of the ball, you know, like Fred Warner's probably not as tight with Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance as he is with the other linebackers, for example. So if you're on the Packers and you're watching Aaron Rodgers, you kind of seeing what's going on all off season. I think you know something's up. You just don't quite know what it is. Exactly.
Yeah, and you know what? And Dibs, you hit it on the nail, Steiny. You're right. But again, here I am trying to defend the person, you know, off the field. But yet I think they're going to get just mollywhopped by the Niners and the Niners' physicality of what they have left on that defense. Because, Dibs, I don't know if you noticed, and I noticed it in the NFC Championship game. There was a play that was talked about. Aaron could have kept the ball and ran to the end zone to get the first, and he pulled up. And I'm watching that first half against Detroit. All of a sudden, I don't know if he has cement feet, but he's not doing those things with his legs. It's like if they get close to him, they're bringing him down. And I'm saying, is that want? Is that will? Is that desire? Or is that Father Time? I do know this. They got the W, but I don't think that, and they won by 18 or something like that. I still think, you know, as good as they were the last 2 years, something's off. And maybe I'm reading the room wrong, but Steiny, I just couldn't go to the point of he's out there, so he's going to half-ass it with his resume.
Yeah,
and it ain't you. It's just a lot of people are like, they're thinking his psyche is shot and he doesn't know how to differentiate. I don't want to be here, but I'm here and I'm gonna be the best version of myself.
But this goes back to exactly what Dibs said about when people are in a good frame of mind, when they're in a good space, good mood, they're likely to perform better. Or they're likely to be closer to their peak. And I absolutely believe the opposite of that's true. If you ain't into it, if you're not in a good space, you're probably not going to be at your best, no matter what you do, whether you're doing a radio show, whether you're doing whether you're leading an offense. The 415 says, why would Rodgers respect the front office, Steiny, especially when they haven't respected him? Yeah, I'm not getting into kind of whose fault it is, because maybe the front office doesn't deserve to be respected, but the fact that they're not respected by the quarterback, that I think that impacts a team. That's just me. And, you know, I've never been a big fan of his body language, so maybe that's unfair, but I just think that the first one, that first press conference was him trying to, I don't know, put on an act. About
Jim said aloof. I love that.
He's right.
He's different. He's a different guy. And, you know, we know that many athletes are, quote, different, like Draymond Green, who will join us at some point. But he's different. He's a different guy in that he speaks his mind. He's gruff. He's abrasive. He's aggressive. But you never doubt that he's going to lay it all on the line and put it all out there. And that's why I think the James Harden Aaron Rodgers comparison to me is maybe a little bit more apt. Not that James Harden doesn't compete, because he does, but he's a different guy as well. And the way he carries himself and, you know, the different things that he's done in his career.
You're right. You're right. And it's more of a frame of mind. It's more of, you know, we always talk about quarterbacks and how they lead a team. And it's tough to get inspired right now, I would think, if you're a Green Bay Packer player, by Aaron Rodgers. All right, coming up on the other side, I want to get into this Mark Schlereth comment. He did the 49ers game this weekend against the Eagles, and he said something that is very interesting, and it's going to make some people say, are you kidding me? We'll talk about what it is on the other side on 95.7.
McElroy was never a first-round pick. Come on.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7, The Game.
All right. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. I want to play something Mark Schlereth said. He was on the call for Fox, the 49ers Eagles game this weekend. But first, pretty insightful text here, I think. I think you're missing the impact of Rodgers not being in camp because of his position. It trickles into all other units, calling out protections for linemen, receivers not being in sync, running backs not sliding over to protect the right way, etc. His absence hurts others more than I think he knows. Yeah, I mean, it's a good point by the texter there, Aaron Rodgers.
If I can add, There's two sides of the ball, Dibs, and they made Green Bay's defense made Jameis Winston look like Warren Moon. So what's Jimmy going to be doing? I know Marin Catholic's own Jared Goff couldn't do it, but I'm expecting Jimmy to get busy like Arsenio Hall this Sunday night with that defense.
Don't know if you needed to disparage Marin Catholic on that. That felt a little personal. You know, I don't always bring up Kelly White when I talk about James Logan
wow.
High School.
Look at Steiny, yeah. Yeah. She got in a little trouble. Olympic sprinter, Steiny.
Yeah, Logan. Nor do I mention Remy Corshemi, who was, you know, connected to
the Ting, you know, brothers, too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me started. But, you know, I wouldn't do that to James Logan. I love Logan.
They love you, too, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, Mark Schlereth.
Stink?
Played for... No, he's good. I think he's good. He was on with DRK yesterday.
No, it's his nickname.
No, that's his nickname.
Simon, he stinks. Great job.
Wait, his nickname is Stink?
Yes.
That's not... There's no way he likes that.
He stinks.
He had a podcast.
So I could actually say him?
He stink.
So yeah, I could actually say it to Schlereth. You stink.
When you have him on the show, hey, Mark Schlereth joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Stink, how are you? I'm good, Steiny. How are you? Thank you. Kyle almost spit up his chalupa there. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, Stink.
Talent, you know, NFL talent nicknames for three Whitey.
He stinks.
I didn't know that one. All right. Anyway, listen to what he had to say about Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday from DRK. Take a listen.
Jimmy Garoppolo has spectacular arm talent. I mean, spectacular. One thing that I love about him is he didn't care how you win. He didn't care if you go into the NFC Championship or divisional game and throw it eight times. That's really not his concern. It's about executing the game plan.
Spectacular arm talent. Go ahead, Goo. Go. I'm going to give Guru the opportunity to just absolutely lambaste Mark Schlereth.
Stink.
That was like when the baby's ugly, but you say your baby's cute. He was on DRK in the Bay, our guys, and he said something that stunk. Jimmy doesn't have spectacular arm talent. It's something that's ailed him. Doesn't throw the best ball, even if it's short, medium. He'll give you one every now and again. But to say he has spectacular arm talent, if that were the case, I think of Marino, Warren Moon I just mentioned, Joe Theismann. Dibs, if he has spectacular arm talent, this is no indictment on Jimmy. I like him. He's an average quarterback. He can be good at times. Trey Lance wouldn't be in a Niner uniform. How about that?
Well, it is an indictment of Jimmy Garoppolo. Don't pretend that it's not an indictment on Jimmy Garoppolo, because if you look at what he's done as a starting quarterback, he is spectacular. He, in fact, is among the leaders in active quarterbacks in win percentage of those who've started more than 10 games. There's only a couple of quarterbacks who are ahead of him ever among guys.
But Dibs, he said
playing.
Not record. He said arm talent, not record talent. Arm talent. Doesn't right, throw the best ball. Come on.
Well,
can't make all the throws. That's
well,
spectacular.
Arm talent is more than the ability to throw the deep ball. His ability to get the ball and throw the ball quickly is spectacular. He gets the ball out of his hand very quickly, and that is part of having spectacular arm talent. The ability to deliver the ball accurately. It may not always be a perfect tight spiral, but he's able to get the ball where it needs to be, and I think that's what Mark Schlereth, a.k.a. Stink, was talking about.
I think he means spectacular arm talent, kind of like Joe Montana. And I'm not comparing Garoppolo to Montana, but even though Montana didn't have the strongest arm, you could say he had great arm talent because he could put the ball wherever he wanted. He could throw out into the flat with some velocity, throw over the middle of the field and put the ball right on the numbers of where the receivers could make yards after the catch. And, I mean, look, the one thing that's been a staple of Jimmy Garoppolo's quarterback tenure is the yards after catch. That's been something that's been pretty consistent. For whatever reason, 49ers receivers get more yards after the catch than most teams. A lot of people will say, well, that's Kyle Shanahan scheming, and maybe it is. But there's a discipline in, like, taking the first thing the defense gives you and then being able to deliver, you know, spectacular. Yeah, that's you know, that's a big word. But I do think Garoppolo is more precise with the ball than people give him credit for.
I agree. And it's reflected in what he's done as a quarterback. And, you know, if you look at it, and this is something from the 49ers straight out of their release this week. He's one of six quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era to win at least 20 of his first 25 starts. One of six, guys. Do you know who the other five are?
Wow.
Are you interested in playing a little game?
Yeah, I love. Let's do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Spadone.
I didn't see it coming.
Give it to us again, Dibs. Yeah.
Well,
give it to
you guys, give it to only you. Six quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era have won at least 20 of their first 25 career starts. Jimmy Garoppolo is one of them. There are five.
Oh, I got one.
There are five. Of course you do. There are five others. Don't jump the queue. Five others who have accomplished this feat, including one, two, three Super Bowl winners, a Super Bowl runner-up, and another guy who neither one of you will ever get. Guru, who do you have that's on the list?
I got Big Ben.
Correct. Big Ben has won. He won 22
okay.
of his first 25. Steiny, do you have a guess?
I'm going to say Dan Marino.
Great guess, Steiny. Put it on the board. Yes, he's the Super Bowl runner-up. He won 21 of his first 25. The remaining three on the list all won 20 of their first 25, as did Jimmy Garoppolo. Goo, what do you have for us?
Oh, I got Mr. Sarah High's own Tom Brady.
Yeah, Brady's not on the list. Aww.
Pick me up, Steiny.
Two of these, two of the three are
team.
Super Bowl winners.
This is competition. This is not a team.
Oh, okay, wow.
I'm going to say...
Oh, I got one.
Did he do that right away? I'm going to say Peyton Manning.
Nah, his rookie year was beset by sacks and failure. Yeah.
How about Sierra's husband, Dibs? Russell Wilson.
My goodies, not my goodies. Sorry, no. Yeah. And again, only six quarterbacks have ever won 20 or more of their first 25 career stats.
Put your hand down, Kyle. I got it.
Steiny?
Look at it.
Who is Patrick Mahomes?
Who is Hit the Pike?
Wow, I thought that was right.
Yeah. Goo, one of these quarterbacks plays for your beloved team.
Oh, and this should have been my... I already knew it. Number 9, Tony Romo.
Oh, God, Goo. Hit the Pike. Steiny?
Got to be Roger the Dodger Staubach.
You can put it on the board. Yes. 20 of 25. Two more quarterbacks. I'll give you each one more guess. One of these guys you'll never get. One of them, had you visited your local grocery store, you'd know. Former grocer.
Oh, it's Kurt Warner.
Yes, yes.
Who had that? Just a Jeopardy prelude. Who would have gotten that one?
Guru. Guru is louder, yeah. Louder always wins. And the final guy.
Hold on. Have we ever heard of this guy?
Of course you have.
Okay.
Pat Hayden.
Give us
Pat Hayden.
Oh, Pat Hayden, USC.
Steiny, don't throw your head back like you're angry. I'm not going to sit here for five more minutes of skunk.
We were enjoying it, though.
You would not have gotten it. I could have given you the Pat, and I could have given you the Hayden, and you still wouldn't have gotten it.
But you could have gone like, Charger? USC.
Yeah. Wow. We got that.
I think you could have even thrown in there Rhodes Scholar.
No, thank you.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Sometimes it's good to just cut to the chase. You guys had your chance. Guru kind of ruined the bit with Tony Romo. And by the way, Peyton Manning, I want to say that they were like 2-14 his rookie year. They were, they stunk.
Was yeah.
So, yeah, I want to say he did throw a ton of interceptions that year.
And again, this is a long way to praise Jimmy Garoppolo. I know that he probably doesn't have, quote, spectacular arm talent, but to be in this group after 25 starts, and the earlier stat I mentioned about active quarterbacks, his winning percentage of 765 is fourth highest among active quarterbacks who have started at least 10 games.
But give me this, Dibs, and I'll give Jimmy that, and I have. But when you say the word Steiny arm talent, that's me going to the park or the stadium and watching you just throw a football like a just – a gladiator like Dan Marino. And I've got to experience watching Cowboys at Raiders, Quincy Carter, number 17, Georgia's own. It was one of the worst exhibitions of throwing a football in warmups I've ever seen. And I saw Troy Aikman, UCLA's own, at Candlestick before the NFC Championship game. And Dibs, that was arm talent. So when I hear the word arm talent, you right. broke it down, but I think of just a you know, the spirals, not the winning percentage.
Fine. Jeff George, arm talent.
Oh, he had it. He had it, yeah.
He stunk.
Not a winner, though. Yeah, he wasn't a winner. And the things around him.
Jay Cutler, arm talent. Yeah, he's a bum.
Right. Ryan Newton. Leaf.
Cam yeah. Newton's got arm talent. Where's Cam Newton right now? So, you know, I think a lot of times we get caught up in, oh, the arm talent. Now, Patrick Mahomes, winning percentage of 813. Oof. He's ahead of Jimmy G. He's got arm talent. I'd say Lamar Jackson at 795, ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo, doesn't have much arm talent. Tom Brady at 771. His winning percentage, by the way, is 771 after 28 years in the NFL.
28?
Would you say that he has arm talent?
Yes, he does.
He doesn't throw the ball down the field.
Randy Moss, he almost broke records that year throwing the ball to Randy Moss. I don't forget those times.
But that was 8 years ago.
But here's, I mean, he's, I mean you,
man.
Yeah.
Here's the answer that here's the question I'll ask Guru, and it's going to be a tell. It's going to be a tell.
They get you
say.
Smiling.
What will?
Okay. Does Trey Lance have arm talent?
I believe him to have
of
arm.
Of course,
talent.
You think he's got arm talent.
Well, and, that 80-yarder he threw to Sherfield.
So first of all, it wasn't an 80-yarder.
How far was it?
I don't know. The cat. Catch and throw was probably 50. And secondly, you know what? Arm talent isn't being able to line the ball right through a guy's chest at 97 miles an hour. So, like, I don't know if Trey Lance has arm talent. I mean, if you win the punt, pass, and kick competition for the longest pass you can throw, does that mean that the winner has arm talent?
I can throw it further than
anybody else. But does
I'd
that
like
matter?
To let the no. I'm with you, Dibs. You said Joe Montana. I want the people listening to know. Just because you have arm talent doesn't mean you're going to succeed at the quarterback position. Joe didn't have the strongest arm. He had the mind. It was strong enough, and he got it there. So I get that. But when I look at Garoppolo, that's what ails him to me is the arm talent. And when you hear the whispers of how condensed the playbook is that Kyle runs because Jimmy can't make all the throws, Dibs, that's why Trey Lance is here.
Well, I don't think that's why he condenses the playbook, and I think that's patently unfair. They condensed the playbook against Philadelphia because Philadelphia was wrecking the interior run game. And if you look at the history of 49er quarterbacks, 49er QBs with at least 400 passing yards and four TDs in a game, Jimmy Garoppolo is among them. Montana did it three times, Steve Young did it once, and Jimmy G did it. So we can make the Montana comparisons all we want. He'll never compare to Joe Montana, but he is in a class in things that he's done on the field that put him alongside those guys.
And you know what? I look at the Eagles game, and this is where I think we're unfair at times to, I don't know, players and teams. So what do we know about the Eagles? They got a great defensive line. And right. apparently, their two safeties play very deep, all right? And you guys know I'm not the big X and O guy, but clearly, they want you. They're coaxing you into short passes, and they the only way you can beat them is by being patient and putting together a long drive. Like sometimes, like you just can't throw a bomb because you want to throw a bomb,
right?
Gotcha. And so it really sounds to me like the Eagles are pretty darn good defensively, and good defensive teams can pick one or two things to take away from you. And then in order for you to succeed, you're going to have to take what they give to you and be precise about it. And that's why they won the game, because they were able to put together some long drives. They couldn't rely on the big play. They couldn't turn the ball over. They couldn't get big chunks of yardage. So they got 3 and 4 yards at a time and got every big third down they needed. It, you know, it's a, you got to acknowledge the other team's strengths at times and the chess match that's a football game.
I'm with that. And both you guys are making great points, but I got the game on now. After Philly got the touchdown and went for the two-point conversion to make it a six-point game, 17-11, 4:02 on the clock, the preceding drive, 3rd and 3, and the Niners didn't have, you know, a lot of success running it up the A and B gap, but guess what they did? They called the play a run play. They got 2 yards, they made it 4th and 1, and they went for it with the quarterback sneak to get it and seal it. But, Dibs, I just think, you know, in a different world with maybe possibly a different quarterback, even though, you know, it's 3rd and 3, you would have put that in the quarterback's hand to make a pass to get that first down, but yet Kyle played it safe, and it worked out. But I'm thinking, you know, years down the road, if Trey is the guy that we think he's going to be, that would have been a pass on 3rd and 3 to seal the game as opposed to risking it, you know, playing it safe, going for the run on 3rd and 3.
Depends on what the defense gives you. And I think that's, you know, maybe the smartest thing Steiny said all week, and he said a lot of smart things. It's a question of what is the defense giving you, what do you do well, and how do those two things line up? And that's where I look at Kyle Shanahan's play calling, and I thought it was a masterclass because Philadelphia was taking away the deep.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Route, because they were playing their safeties very deep defensively. And their front was killing you on the interior, so they took away your interior run game. The thing that was open was that toss play. And you mentioned it, Goo, on Monday. They ran it over and over and over. And so that, to me, was Kyle Shanahan looking at what is Philadelphia offering in terms of plays that might work, and what are we doing with our depleted personnel that might work? And that's where it matched up. Now, Green Bay, not going to be as aggressive defensively, especially in their front. You should have more time to throw the ball, and I look forward to where Kyle sets the over-under on Jimmy G passing yards, because I think this is going to be much more of a Jimmy G game, considering what Green Bay does defensively.
What do you think of that, Q?
I think he's right, and again, here I go. It sounds like I'm hating on Jimmy. I'm not. I just think he's going to have a big game. The Niners offense is going to have a big game this Sunday night. And before we played the record game, before the season started, I think I might even had this as an L. But Aaron Rodgers, I'm defending him off the field, Steiny. I just think what I saw Detroit do, they just couldn't sustain it. But the Niners will be able to, and they're going to run down their throat and be able to pass. So I think the Niners are going to blow them out. And if they do, Steiny, here I am nitpicking, the Niners would be 3-0 then. This would be like, are we going down the road of 2 years ago to where they started off 8-0? I don't know, but damn, 3-0, what can you say? Tip the cap.
And the other thing where I reject vehemently something you said, Goo.
Okay.
When you said it was 3rd and 3, you know, I just, you know, if another quarterback's in there, I think he'd throw the ball. I completely and utterly disagree. And the reason I disagree is because if you throw on 3rd down and you're incomplete, you've got a punt on 4th down because now it's 4th and 3. So he knew, I think he knew he was in 4-down territory at that point to salt away the game. And he was looking at it like, I can run 2 times for 3 yards here. And that was like that was the safe play, that was the smart play, and it was the play that was going to use the most clock. That's kind of the way I looked at that.
No, I get it. And, you know, I know we argued about, you know, these injuries and the effect it'll have on this team, but I'm just wondering how this Green Bay game is going to play out before we start saying, and I guess I'm asking you to this, are they happening so fast right now, Steiny and Dibs, that somehow if the Niners come out with an L at home against Green Bay, that we use that as an excuse? Like, have injuries piled up so much in your estimation to where that can affect the outcome?
Absolutely. No. Absolutely. You know, if you are unable to run the football, and by the way, they signed Chris Thompson, the running back, to the team's practice squad, which means they're continuing to get depth at that position. And I don't know if you guys saw this before, but they're going to have a new running back and a new guy probably carry the football, Jaquez Patrick, who
mentioned him yesterday.
He got signed. I actually was looking at some of his college film today before the show out of Florida State. Big runner, 6'2", about 225. Not necessarily the get-to-the-edge kind of runner. So if you don't have Mitchell and if you don't have Hasty, it looks like Trey Sermon probably won't play in the concussion protocol. How might that affect the way you run the football? Because to me, Patrick is much more of a between the tackles guy. You know, I saw him get outside a little bit with Florida State, and he runs a lot out of the read option, but most of his runs came in the interior. So I wonder if they think against Green Bay, they might be able to go more straight ahead in the run game.
I'll tell you what I would – I mean, I must have misunderstood the question because it sounded to me like, you know, Dibs was saying, yeah, you know, they've got injuries and it's going to affect them. I thought you said, if they lose to the Packers, can we come in here Monday and talk about injuries? Hell no. Oh, my God, are you kidding me? No, no, no. The injuries are no factor at this point. Are you really gonna say? Well, we didn't have Mostert and Verrett, and that's why we lost. No. Come on, Goo.
Well, the reason I posed that, Steiny, is right now you're getting guys off the street at the running back position, so there could be holes. But if they're not gifted enough to take advantage, these guys that, you know, are coming in left and right, I think that would have an outcome of the game. I'm not saying that's why they lost, but moving forward, a position of strength, which you thought was going to be at the beginning of the season, has all of a sudden, you know, with this game to be played, has evaporated, and I don't think it's too far-fetched to say, man, we don't have too much, you know, we got uncertainty back there.
Well, to my way of thinking, if you think that's the case, then the injuries already are going to prevent them from winning a Super Bowl is kind of what it sounds like you might be saying. You know what I mean? Like if
you got Wilson Jr. coming back, you know, and Mitchell may play this Sunday night. I don't know. But if he doesn't, I'm just being real, Steiny. I'm not making excuses. I'm just with Dibs to where you can't ignore the next guy up when you're getting the next guy from the Bengals practice squad. And, you know, I don't know where this guy you just mentioned, Dibs, came from. I forgot. But, yeah, you know, Florida they're coming State. From – yeah, Florida, yeah, all over.
And Kyle says Jaquez, which is depending on – who you ask? I was going off of the college tape and Chris Fowler back at ESPN. But either way, we're gonna hear his name, I would imagine, a lot on Sunday night. And again, this is where Kyle Shanahan, genius, this is where you earn your genius stripe. So I kind of see it both ways, Goo. I'm not saying that if they lose, oh, well, they have an excuse because they have injuries. This is the way you built your team. And you go through running backs like, you know, somebody with a head cold goes through facial tissue, and it's just a reality of the situation. Now, if you are the boy genius, you're going to find a way to match up your run game and your run fits to the personnel that you have.
All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. We're going to jump more into the San Francisco 49ers, and we can talk a little bit about this injury bug and if it is going to manifest itself, and if so, how. Talk about that on the other side. Also coming up at 1:20, we got Lock of the Day, and I want to talk about we know that baseball players steal signs, but are you allowed to steal data cards? It's a moral dilemma on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
What would his package look like?
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, did you guys hear what happened in the Tampa Bay-Toronto game yesterday? Something interesting that I'd never seen happen before. And I'm going to explain it to you. And then I'm going to want to get your take on it. Because integrity is a big part of your life. And everybody should try to live a virtuous life. And
please,
I don't know,
explain.
Kevin Kiermaier is doing that right now. Kiermaier. Are you sure? Because I went to baseball. I went to Baseball Digest. Kiermaier.
Baseball Kevin Digest. Kiermaier.
reminds with Earmeyer.
TV so Digest wasn't available.
Kiermaier is involved in a play at the plate, and during the play at the plate, the data card comes out of the catcher's back pocket, and the catcher's name is, shoot, I had it written down, but I can't remember now. It doesn't matter. But, you know, they're these, the cards, you see the outfielders pull them out of their pockets a lot. It's how to play the hitters. There's some strategy on there, how to pitch guys most likely. Anyway, Kiermaier, after the play at the plate, sees this card that had fallen out of apparently his wristband, the catcher's wristband, and he picked it up and he took it with him. And the Toronto Blue Jays are saying, you can't do that. That's our scouting type of sheet. You got to give that back. And Kiermaier said, hey, look, first of all, I didn't look at it. Secondly, what? I'm not going to just give it back to him and hand it back to him. And then apparently the two managers got together and I don't know if they gave it back, but there seemed to be an understanding that, I don't know, he shouldn't have done that, and they certainly shouldn't use it. To me, that feels like gamesmanship in a little way. I didn't think it was that bad that Kiermaier took the data sheet or the data card. That was kind of...
You shouldn't even have the damn card. Back in my era, that used to be the data mined. You remembered all that. And if you lose it in warfare, Dibs, so what? Tough cookie, deal with it. But, hey, you got to give me my data card back. No, it don't work like that. It came out. You shouldn't have had it. Live with it.
Well, you know, normally I'd be of the same mind, but a lot's changed in the last few days. And I hearken back to our round on Sunday, Steiny, at Poppy Ridge, where I left my phone on the bench at the 10th tee box, and I lost it, much like this poor unnamed catcher lost his data card. Well, I lost my data card, and it happened to be inside my Samsung phone that I so cherish and I adore, and I lost it. The person who found my phone could have taken my phone and sold it on eBay. They could have, you know, given it to a third party to use. They could have done anything they wanted to my phone, but that person took it to the pro shop at Poppy Ridge, and shout out the good people at Poppy Ridge for then contacting me, and I was able to get my phone back. So, you know, and obviously the catcher, he lost his card, and he put himself, like I did, in a vulnerable position. He didn't want to lose his card. I didn't want to lose my phone. Yet, unlike Kevin Kiermaier or Kiermaier, depending on who you ask, you know, this person at Poppy Ridge did the right thing. So I'm feeling some kind of way about morality, as Steiny was indicating. And I think the right thing to do would have been, excuse me, catcher, I believe you've dropped this. Here you go, sir.
But, yeah. Dibs, you didn't lose your phone in the heat of battle. This was in the heat of battle. And I got to remind the people and listeners, Steiny, I don't know if you know this. I haven't told you many times. When I was trying to win this radio job, the lucky break, you know, there were a lot of nerves going on for your boy. And I had a diary, which was my notepad. And I had written some things on there that could have been real, that could have ruined me, Steiny. But guess what Dan Dibley did? He took a picture of it and put it on Twitter of all the things that I've written down on my diary. What if I said I was going to poop in my pants? I don't think I can win this. I'm scared. He didn't even think remotely of, you know what, this might ruin the Goose chances, and went public with the sheet, my notes, and I'll never forget it. And now, Dibs, you come back and you kind of changed it. I know we all grow, but I'm kind of shocked now that you're taking this stance.
Okay, a few things
that
here.
That was if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That's where I got it from.
There's a number of things that need to get peeled back here, and this is a virtual onion. First and foremost, Sunday I was in the heat of battle. We had a friendly wager between Steiny's foursome and my foursome, and I knew at that point that it was a competitive match. We were down by 3. The spread was 5.5, so I was deep in the throes of competition. Second layer of the onion. If your notes had mentioned that you were going to poop your pants, I would not have tweeted that. Even though, third layer of the same onion, you and I were in direct competition. You were on Team Tierney. Hey, yo, yeah. Yo, yo. Hey, Billy, why no moves? And I was on Team Dibley. So, in fact, there was a competitive element to it. Same onion, fourth level. New information, Goo. I've grown up a lot since then, and I have subsequently apologized to you for violating the code of ethics and tweeting out your what passes for notes, apparently. But
see, yeah. Steiny, that hurt.
I think we've reached the center of the onion here, Steiny, and I'm about to cry.
Well, it all is very, very interesting, and of course, Guru's just going to have to take your word for it that you wouldn't have tweeted it had he said he was having some problems with some bowel movements.
And I can find the picture that I tweeted out. It was very, it was pretty innocent. It was like, you know, and it
could have ruined your boy, though.
Note one, A's bullpen woes, you know, Giants power outage, you know.
Nice.
I need new underwear. That wasn't on there.
I wouldn't, you know. Kiermaier picked it up. You know, to me,
come on.
To me, it's not a big deal.
Come on, people.
Just take a photo of it and give it back. That's all you got to do. Take a photo. Oh, here. Yeah, no, we didn't look at it. No, we didn't look at that one. We've looked at the copies of that one. Yes,
I'm not sure that it's the taking the picture of it and analyzing it. It's more just like, yeah, hey, you don't get to have this. Make a new one if you want it. It's less about the reading how they're going to pitch. In fact, if I'm hitting, I don't want to know how a team is going to pitch me, because then they might switch up from what is on that card, and then you're in the box thinking. So I think it's more about having that piece of information and the Blue Jays now needing to remake the whole thing if they do want it back, and making that difficult for them.
And what would the great Pete Rose think of that card just in general? And would he have given it back, Steiny? Hell no. You know what I mean? I'm shocking you. I'm not a big analytics guy. I just hate the game is played. Like, you got that paper like that. You know where to play Kyler Spadoni. You should go over that before the game. That's what you call prep. But to have the game I love basically computerized dibs on an eight by half, that's just, it's yuck. It's yuck.
I promise Pete Rose took plenty of notes and would have used that card for something else.
Come on, Stein.
Do you care when Tom Brady has his wristband with all the plays on it and stuff like that? It's the same thing.
But you know what? That's more sophisticated. When you got to remember those plays and what go into it, I get having that on your wrist. That's the ultimate pass. But when Steiny's coming up and Dibs and I are in the outfield, you should know where Spadoni and – you know what I mean? I just don't like the dumbed downness of the game that you kind of write it on the little card. I mean, come on. Know your sport. Know your competition.
You're assuming that players back in the day did memorize or did know to play every. No, what
George
I'm telling you, that's
Foster,
not the case.
They had to.
No, my point is that if I'm a right fielder and I got nine guys' names on a list and everyone it's like straight up, shade left, this guy right center. Right, we don't know that George Foster memorized every single batter and did it right.
Wow. I remember Andy Van Slyke roaming the outfield for the Pirates, him and Bonilla and Bonds, and he would be the captain telling them to come here, come in. Bonds didn't listen against the Braves. That's all another story. But that used to be their job. You know, you had one guy communicate, even from the dugout.
What
you know, Dibs is up. You know, go move over. What happened to that part of it? It's all – the shift has just ruined everything to where now it's on a card.
What if I tell you that I'm not convinced that old-time players didn't have some kind of card? I'll be honest with you. It was like, what, 3 or 4 years ago, I was watching a game and the outfielder pulled this card out and started looking at it and then moving. And I was like, huh, I didn't know these guys had cards. I didn't, like 3 or 4 years ago. But it's not like I'd never watched baseball, so I'm thinking, well, maybe they've had cards forever, and I don't know about it. It'd be worth sniffing around, maybe, to tell you the truth.
And everybody wants the game to go faster, and these cards help speed up the game. Instead of, you know, the manager coming out in the top step, Jimmy, two to the left, one back, no, the other left, move over. Now it's just, boom, oh, Lindor's up. Okay, I know where to position myself, and with two strikes, I'm going over here. So, to me, the card has made things a little bit more streamlined.
Mm.
I think
thought of that.
I think there's an interesting aspect about whether you want to know or not what's on that card. I tell you right now, I would love to know what's on that card, but I'd also need to know that the other team doesn't know I know what's in the card. If you know what I mean. Like, if he could have surreptitiously put it in his back pocket, nobody would have noticed. Now you're starting to look at it for the next two games of the series. That could be very valuable. But I am with Kyle that at this point, what is it? You gotta need a new data card.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, Steiny, I know you got the legal, but after the legal ID, I have found the picture of Guru's notes from Lucky Break, and I would love to share those notes with us following your legalization of our radio license.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey station. It's all sponsored by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, These were thoughts, Steiny. So before he tries to bear, you know, there were nerves going, so I jotted down stuff. So notes might be too strong.
Time now for a flashback edition of The Notebook. It's not starring Matt Steinmetz, but it's starring a young man who goes by the name of Daryl the Guru Johnson. Dateline, Pete's, Pedro's Cantina, rest in peace. March 21st. 2012 as
oh, O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.